Faith or fear? Then Yeshua, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days by the tempter. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. The tempter said to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, command this stone to become bread." But Yeshua answered him, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh.'" Then the tempter brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone.'" And Yeshua answered and said to him, "It is also written, 'You shall not tempt Yahweh, your Elohim.'" Then the tempter, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Yeshua answered and said to him, "Away with you, for it is written, 'You shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only you shall serve.'" Now when the tempter had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, and Luke 4, 1 through 13. From both accountings above, Scripture clearly tells us that Yeshua was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The Father had prepared him to withstand what the enemy had in store for him and afforded him the opportunity to be proven by this experience. Most have been taught and led to believe that demons are on the loose, on the rampage, and are to be avoided at all costs, lest we be devoured by them. While Scripture does say that he lurks about as a roaring lion, what is lacking in that teaching is that the reality that when you are filled with the Spirit of Yahweh, the devils tremble. In fact, Scripture says that for those who have surrendered to the Father's purpose, temptation is merely an instrument in the hands of Yahweh to temper us, to harden us, and make us fit for his use in the kingdom. If we are to follow in the footsteps of the Master, Scripture says we can expect the same experience as a normal part of life, abiding in Ruach HaKodesh. In Matthew 6:13, Scripture actually says, "Deliver us from evil, not the evil one," as religious tradition teaches. The Greek word poneros, translated as evil in the English version of this verse, means full of labors, annoyances, hardships, and says nothing about an entity named Satan. It is the same word used for evil in Matthew 5, verse 37, again, no mention of Satan. Can you see how the tradition of replacement theology has overwritten the meaning by inserting its own doctrine in the choice of words? Words mean things. In Matthew 16, verse 23, you have to ask, who is Yeshua speaking to? Does he mean a person named Satan physically entered Peter's body and took him over, forcibly making him say things he did not want to say, which openly contradicts the English translation of 1 John 5, verse 18? Or rather, could it mean that Yeshua was rebuking the person, Peter, For the opposing force, his words presented as a temptation that would seek to change the course of what the Father's words to Yeshua were. The same is true of Yeshua's supposed encounter with an entity in the wilderness. Strangely, the Greek word pairazo, translated as the tempter in Matthew 4, verse 3, is the same Greek word used to describe the significance the actions of the Pharisees had on Yeshua in Matthew 16, verse 1, Matthew 19, verse 3, and Matthew 22, verse 18, which means to try, make trial of, test for the purpose of asserting his quality or how he will behave himself. Again, no distinctively separate entity. In each case, the temptation given Yeshua was the same as it is for any man, to follow his own will and determination instead of the words of the Father. Which brings us to the second point to note in the passage above. Yeshua's declaration of Yahweh's words to assuage the involvement of this enemy in his life. We forget that during the time Yeshua walked in the flesh on earth, he was no different than you or I. When scripture says he was tempted, you can believe it was as real a temptation to him as anything you or I have ever faced. Like us, at any point in the tempting and exposing of the heart, this process brings to the surface. He could have chosen to embrace the temptation. He did not. Instead, he chose to be obedient to the words of the Father in the midst of the circumstance, thus empowering his faith to be able to withstand with temptation. The temptation to abandon Yahweh's words of truth in favor of an act of his own determination, simply to ease the pressure of the moment. One reader wrote, "What do I do if while trying to believe God for the circumstance in my life, I still struggle with the fear inside? What if I am doing my best to try and overcome fear and the feelings that are produced because of it? Obviously, faith overcomes fear. But what if you are continually crying out to God to help you grow in faith and still struggle with that sick feeling of fear inside? What if you are quoting the verses and trying to stand on and believe God and His Word and still feeling the fear? What do you do in that case? Do you just continue to struggle day after day, month after month, until somehow it just goes away? How do you get more faith if you continually cry out to God for it, but it seems you struggle with fear?" It is important to understand that neither faith nor fear are emotions. They are choices. Throughout Scripture, we are told to fear not, be not afraid, and be not dismayed. Those are choices made through an act of our will. The Greek word for power in John 1, verse 12 is exousia and means power of choice. When we embrace the nature of Spirit expressed in His words, we become empowered by His Spirit to face the circumstances confronting us. Separating fear from a feeling now frees me to be able to choose how I am to act, to behave in response to circumstances, regardless of how I might feel about them. Faith now becomes actionable as a choice over feeling. Faith does not overcome fear. Like light and darkness, faith and fear cannot occupy the same space at the same time. There will be either one or there will be the other. Faith is a choice of our will, as is fear. If we choose to believe that God is good no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, then we are choosing to embrace perfect love, and Scripture says it is perfect love that casts out fear. Faith is exhibiting confidence through our actions that Yahweh will do everything we have heard Him say He will do. Believe, as found in Genesis 15 verse 6 in the Hebrew, is aman, meaning to stand firm in, to be found reliable in, to be faithful in doing. As the father of our faith, Abraham exhibited his belief in what the Father was saying to him by causing his actions to adhere to the words of Yahweh had spoken the very day he heard them. Romans 4 verse 12 says, Abraham is the father of all who walk in the steps of that faith he exhibited in Ha'el Hana'am. To believe requires an alignment of our life to the words of Yahweh found in Exodus 20 verses 1 through 17. It is in the dual action of sealing of our confession before men with our lips and then a follow-through of the evidentiary embrace of the life of Yeshua he exampled before us in Scripture. To those who exhibit this belief, to them are given the power to become the sons of Yahweh. In choosing to be faithful to Yahweh's words in the midst of circumstance, the burden is taken off of us to dispel fear and is put squarely on Yahweh's shoulder to come to our aid in whatever way He wishes. That is the God Yeshua knew in the wilderness. He was not speaking those words from a place of fear, but choosing instead to reside in that place of confident conviction. Understand, however, that the choice to remain in a place of faith also places you in a position of extreme vulnerability. This means that if Yahweh does not show up on your behalf, most likely you will become roasted duck, somebody's dinner. How do we choose faith? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Romans 10, verse 17. Some English translations end this verse with the words of God. Others end it with the words of Messiah. However, since Yeshua stated in John 14 verse 24 that His words were the words of Yahweh, it makes little difference which way it is ended. The word being spoken of is the nature of Yahweh, the life of spirit. The Hebrew language is different from English in that it carries a duality of meaning for words and phrases. In Hebrew, the meaning of hearing is not just audio sound waves striking the sensory portion of the ear, but also has a concurrent meaning as well. The Hebrew word for listen or hear in Exodus 15 verse 26 is shama. But in Exodus 19 verse 5, the same Hebrew word is also used for obey. In Hebrew, to hear is to obey. To obey is to hear. Whether you hear what is spoken or not is measured by how you obey what you hear. Conversely, how do you obey determines whether or not you heard what was said. To say God is good is to also say good is God at the same time. They are the same. This same dualism is also used for the whole phrase in Romans 10 verse 17 above. In considering that all of these words were initially written by Hebrews from a Hebrew perspective, then Hebraically this phrase is rendered faith is hearing, obeying. Hearing, obeying is faith. The exercise of faith is directly tied to my action of trust, exhibited by obedience to his words. The third observation on the opening verses of this article was that Yeshua did not try to restrain the temptations laid before him, nor did he attempt to escape from them. He allowed himself to be taken from place to place in order for the temptation to be fully exposed to him. He did not try to resist the tempter's advances, but withstood them, trusting the Father to be in full control of the earthly events that affected his life. The Father once said to me that the most difficult challenge I would ever face throughout my life lies in arising every morning and simply choosing to believe that Yahweh is good, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel. To choose to believe by my actions that my trust in his words are not misplaced, that his chesed is worthy of my trust. Yeshua did not take it upon himself to try to alter the circumstances he found himself thrust into. He did not do it here at the beginning nor at the end when he was before Pilate. Neither should we. Yeshua resisted the enemy of self-determination, not by trying to engage in rhetoric, but by not giving any place for doubt to reside in his heart. We should do the same. What does all this mean for those times when I can feel fear crawling all over me? It means I choose to stand in what the Father says to be truth, and having stood, I continue to stand, even if it means I might perish. The tradition most common to Christianity has tried to convince us that freedom from uncomfortable circumstances is the norm, when, in reality, just the opposite is true. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." A choice. You prepare a banquet table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Father wants us to stand in our present circumstances, look the enemy of temptation eyeball to eyeball, and know that if I am in the palm of the Father's hand by the obedience to his words, the enemy cannot touch me unless there is something the Father wants from me in that exchange. At first it seems an insurmountable task because every fiber in your being will cry out to convince you otherwise. But who are we to believe? What we feel or what the Father says is truth. Like exercising your body, however, the more you do stand, the longer you will be able to stand in the face of fear. Eventually, it will subside, maybe not completely, but manageably. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of what is hoped for. Faith is believing that God is good and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. The enemy is fear. Faith is standing nose to nose with the enemy of temptation, as Yeshua did in the wilderness, with knowledge that he cannot touch me unless I allow him to, by giving place to him through my choices. The obedience we are seeking is choosing to be obedient to the Father's words in the face of circumstance that would try to convince us otherwise. Fear is something we give place to if we are trying to preserve our life. If there is something of our life we are trying to hang on to, we will lose what we desire to have the most, because it is in the act of the choice of trying to preserve our life that we lose it. This is the good fight for the faith that is demonstrable to the world. We don't walk by feeling, we walk by faith no matter what. And then we wait on the Father to show up in the middle of our circumstance. Not the way we want him to be, the way he wants to be found. Resist the enemy of fear and self-determination, and he will flee from you. This is our resistance. We just do it. We do it to the extent and with the mindset those boys had before Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fiery furnace. If I perish, then I perish. But even if Yahweh does not rescue me, I will not bow to the temptation to give fear a place to squat in my heart. As it is written, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Romans 10, verses 11 through 13.